C1P. Number 4B.
Yes. Well, let's recapitulate that tone. This is quite interesting if you read that part 2. That Mrs. Eddy will not mention the concept of body until she comes to the third subject of soul, because it's always soul that deals with the concept of body. But when she comes to that third subject, she tackles the term body. And she tackles the term body really by defining what the body is. Namely, she says, the body, here in this subject, she says, the body is the substratum of mortal mind. See, she reduces body first to mortal mind, so that we don't have a sense that body is a identity. It's only mortal mind. She says, the mortal body is only an erroneous belief of what? Of mind in matter. So again, she builds up and says, you see, at the bottom of the whole question of body is a concept of mortal mind. That mortal mind says, I can live in the matter. So the combination of mortal mind and matter together make up a body. The moment you have mind in matter, you have sensation in matter. So the body has sensation. And the sensations of mortal mind, she says, can form blood and flesh and bones. So this is the concept. But how does she now deal with that concept? And the interesting thing is that we need to know for the practice is that she does not do away with the body. She does not destroy the body. She does not say that the body is nothing. She postulates here that the body improves under the treatment. And this is interesting to see, because we know that naturally if we would give a real good treatment, that then the body would disappear, and then we would be put into prison. That's perhaps the only result. Huh? We would be accused of having... Well, put away the body, or I don't know what. See? So, at the point of Christian Science practice, only at that point, Christianity as science, at the point of Christian Science practice, we have to see that the body improves under the treatment, not that he vanishes away. Therefore, she would never say that here that the body must be destroyed. And so she postulates the improvement of the body. She says, man must be better spiritually as well as physically. Also physically. The body improves under the spiritualized thought. So the question is, but how can we now improve the body? And her explanation is, because the body is the substratum of mortal mind, and this mortal mind yields to the demandate of divine mind. So we can see we are not treating the body. What we have to do is to treat mortal mind, the substratum of the body. How can we treat mortal mind? There we can treat it through divine mind. Because instead of entertaining mortal mind, we can just the same way entertain in consciousness the divine mind. And so entertaining the divine mind and gathering therefore the facts of health from the divine mind, the body improves under that treatment. So we have to see that the practitioner shouldn't say, if somebody comes along and says, well, I suffer very much, my body suffers very much, that you say, you have no body. You have not the body. That's not really treatment. We can't say you have no body, because if we would demonstrate that, then that body would disappear. But I don't think that anybody would then feel that that was the right thing at the right time. That was the right thing for Jesus at the right time at his ascension. But not even at the resurrection he did away with the body. He resurrected the body first. And only when he could show and prove that one can resurrect the body, he did away with the body. And so he left no body. At this point of Christian Science treatment, not of divine science treatment, we must be aware that our purpose is to improve the body, not by improving the body itself, but by exchanging mortal mind, the substratum of the body, by exchanging mortal mind as much as we can with our vision of the ideas of the divine mind. And under that treatment, mortal mind begins to yield, and as mortal mind begins to yield, the body really takes on its healthy nature. All right, so let's run through those seven subtones again and see that only as we arise, mortal mind, as we arise above the counterfeit, really can we help the body. What do we rise above in mind? We said in mind, we rise above the counterfeit of mind, namely above false thought, willful thinking, of sinful thinking, and rise above to what? He says, we rise above through spiritualization of thought and gathering the facts of being from the divine mind. That's what we do. How do you rise above at the point of spirit? Said, well, you rise above all the material theories and material diagnosis. You rise above the material remedies of drugs and so on, and see that only spiritual remedies can really help, that they alone have a lasting effect. At the point of soul, you remember what we saw? We said, rise above the sensation. Don't ask the body what kind of sensation he feels, if he feels pained or not. Rise above the sensation into the realm of science. Science versus senses. At the point of principle, it says, rise above what? Rise above that, what the physician diagnoses, and what his prognosis is. Rise above that to the metaphysical fact of man, and draw your conclusions from mind reading, from the mind diagnosis. And that mind diagnosis only interprets every situation as a metaphysical situation. What do you do in life? Rise above what? Rise above that ghostly existence in which we believe, where we never know from where we have been coming, from where to where we are going, when we are going, and through what circumstances we are going, where we never know what happens in the next moment, and when it happens, and how it happens, and why it happens. Get out of that. See that there is only one life, and that life is eternally at work. It's the way of life in divine science. Go the way of life. Go the way of the ideas of life. At the point of truth, she said, well, rise above what? Rise above the sense that you are a mortal, that you are first a babe, then that you grow up, and that you get older, and that in this way you get maturer. No, rise above that mortal sense of mortality, of being immortal. To what? To the contemplation that man in science is the idea of perfection, and always exists in its full manhood. And at the point of soul of love, she said, rise above what? Rise above your own self-limitations. See that we are actually keeping ourselves in the prison of limitation, that we are bound to limitations. Rise above the limitation. Rise into the unlimited realm of what? Of God and His ideas. Then you are roaming in the free, unlimited realm of perfection, in the realm of love. That's what you can see when you treat the situation from the point of view of soul. Yes. So we go to the next big subject, principle. It's still the question of truth knowing. Ye shall know the truth, and that makes you free, but what kind of a truth shall I know? At the point of principle, I have to know that divine metaphysics has the power of demonstration. Principle is explained through divine metaphysics, through the system of ideas. So my epitome here is truth knowing demonstrates divine metaphysics. And so we will hear here something about the nature of divine metaphysics. How does she elaborate that whole subject? As mind. We have here the epitome, demonstrating science in obedience to the law of God. Man demonstrates himself to be the idea of God. She puts it as the angels in heaven. Can you see here mind? If you know the synonymous term, you can see here principle as mind. Principle is demonstrating science on the basis of mind. Mind is obedience to the law of God. So you have a wonderful combination of principle as mind, obedience principle to the law of mind, and therefore in that way we demonstrate divine metaphysics, and we demonstrate that man is idea in divine metaphysics, because metaphysics has to do with ideas. She reasoned it like this. She says, when man demonstrates Christian science absolutely, can you hear, absolutely, principle, he will be perfect. And then she says this very interesting point, he can neither sin, suffer, be subject to matter, nor disobey the law of God. So you see here something very beautiful. She wants to show that we are not going to heal man from sin and suffering, but that we must see him as a metaphysical idea, and the metaphysical idea cannot sin, cannot suffer, cannot be subject to matter, and cannot disobey the law of God. I think we must arrive at that point where in our treatment we have to counteract that belief that the patient comes along and says, I'm sick, something happens to me, I'm in a mess. I guess I'm in a mess because I was not obedient to a divine law, that I did something wrong. And so I have been doing something wrong, but I like to get out of the mess, and please help me. Well, the metaphysician says at the point of principle, he says to himself, he may not say it to the patient, but to himself, he says, golly, what is he talking about? If I look into the infinite universe of principle, I only see ideas obedient to principle. That's all I can see. In that one principle, there is not one single idea that cannot obey the principle, that therefore there is no idea that could ever have not obeyed it, that could ever have sinned anything, therefore there is no idea in that can suffer or be subject to matter. Anything like that is absolutely impossible. I only see that in the divine principle every idea is obedient to that principle, is in line with the law of that principle. Therefore, from everlasting to everlasting, only one thing went on, that man as idea was always obedient to that principle. He has never been disobedient to that principle. He could never be disobedient to that principle. Therefore, the idea man is always operating within the law of God. And therefore, he has never had a chance to get out of that law. And therefore, to fall away from that law, and therefore to get sick. And so I established the fact that man could never have been disobedient to the law of God. You see, instead of healing him from a certain disease, I heal my concept of a man that could have disobeyed the law of God. I heal myself by lifting thought to the point that in the realm of being, in the principle of being, every idea is subject to the laws of God and is always acting and operating according to the law of God, and never has anything else happened. Yes? Then we come to spirit, and here she makes a very interesting remark that perhaps we would not have expected here if we would have had to construct that wonderful flow in spirit. My epitome here is that honest recognition of benefits received, namely gratitude, leads to more success. See, it begins to show, she asks, what leads to more success? She says, the honest recognition of benefits received, the just acknowledgement of truth and what it has done for us, not what it is doing for us or what it is expected to do for us. It is an acknowledgement of the facts of being, therefore the reality of being, and says, after all, we should first acknowledge all the good spirit that has always been done through the principle of being. And therefore, she says, what hinders a success? It is that we deny the truth as being as the truth, that we interfere with all kinds of wrong qualities like pride, superstition, or any kind of error. Therefore, can you see what a metaphysician does, or what a scientist does? At the point of spirit, we begin to acknowledge the substantial fact of good, that good is ever present, that we see that God always, always blesses every situation, that there is no such a thing as asking for a blessing and awaiting a blessing, and looking out for a blessing. It's the acknowledging of the benefits received. Can you see the scientific sense of principle here? That does not try to heal in the future, but tries to accept first that man is at the point of being a lawful idea, always operating within the laws of God, mind. That we are always at the point that we are always already blessed, and that we have actually also that attitude of gratitude, of acknowledging that being is actually always intact and good. Does not need to be made good. Then in soul, you have that sense that healing sin is more difficult than healing disease. That's what Mrs. Eddy says. She says it is easier to cure the most malignant disease than it is to cure sin. And she says, why is it so? That she says, well, it is more difficult to lift the student out of chronic sin because he loves sin. But it is much more easier to lift the student out of disease because he doesn't love disease. And so he lets it go much easier. He doesn't cling to it. Therefore, she says, teaching is more difficult than healing. And by golly, it is. By golly, it is. With healing, one is not so much misunderstood as with teaching. If one teaches the principle, you have a great chance that most people misunderstand the teaching. That they only pick out certain sentences and pick that out and take that as a teaching, or pick out the sentence that they have not understood and then leave out all the rest and take that false concept and build on that. Teaching is one of the most difficult thing to do. Actually, most students feel that's the easiest thing to do. Therefore, they like to teach and not to heal. They like to study a little bit and then say, I'm going to teach it. I find so few students that say, I have learned something, I'm going to practice it and heal. They all want to teach, I don't know why. They don't know what they are in for. I tell them that they are in for something. And that Mrs. Eddy says, if Jesus wouldn't have taken a student, he would not have been crucified. That's what she says. That he would not have been crucified if he hadn't taken a student. And the same thing happens to each one. To teach, really, is most difficult because of that very sense that a student is very willing to give up disease, but he's not willing to give up his ignorance, sin. That he's not willing. And therefore, he will always misunderstand the teacher. Always. In one way or another, in important points or in side remarks. He will always misunderstand him. So, don't look forward to be a teacher. It's a hell of a job. It's a hell of a job. And one must have really an elephant skin to go on in that job. A real elephant skin. Yes. So, where are we here? We are at the point of principle as soul. The demonstration of metaphysics is much more difficult to heal sin with a metaphysical practice than disease. We come to principle as principle. My epitome here is establishing the scientific sense of health. And you see, the scientific sense of health principle restores the healthy function of the disabled organ. So, a scientific sense of principle has another effect, namely that it restores the healthy function of the body. How does she explain that? She says, disease is shown in the functions of the body. See, again she says, it's not an organic proposition. It's a functional proposition. Therefore, establish the scientific sense of health. That's where we begin with the healing. Establish the scientific sense of health. And you relieve the oppressed organ. And the organ will resume its healthy function. So here, at principle as principle, she really gives a step-by-step mechanism that operates in healing, by establishing really a scientific sense of health. This has its effect on the body by relieving the oppressed organ and therefore establishing again the healthy function of the organ. That's why the more harmonious we are, the more we are within the rhythm of metaphysics and live with metaphysics and have that near to our heart, the more our body really should function harmoniously. without thinking about the body. We shouldn't think constantly about the body and keep it healthy. That body is kept healthy by metaphysics, by our love, by our acknowledgement of the benefits already received, by acknowledging that life, truth, and love are operating constantly as our principle, and that that is a spiritual function and functions and bringing us only the good and nothing else but the good, and that alone relieves any depressed organ and lets it work harmoniously. So really to stay healthy is not just such a big job. It's only mortal mind that makes a terrific job out of it, because it's afraid that at any moment we could lose our health and our life.